This is the Gospel Hour, making known to this nation the gospel of Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for today's message that was preached and recorded by the founder of the Gospel Hour, Evangelist Dr. Oliver B. Green.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Gospel Hour. I'm David Green, director of the Gospel Hour, inviting you to stay tuned with us for the next half hour as we bring you another beautiful song today by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, and continue with our very important study of Bible doctrine as preached and taught by my late father, Dr. Oliver B. Green. Now, this week, we have been looking at the subtopic of the five judgments. And now, Dr. Green is reviewing all five of those judgments. And also, he discusses the second death. And we'll get to that in just a few moments. But before that, we are going to hear a great song, Jesus Loves Even Me. Isn't that wonderful to know that no matter how big or small you are, how good or bad you've been, Jesus loves you. Enjoy the music, and then Dr. Green.
I am so glad that our Father in heaven tells of His love in the book He has given. Wonderful things in the Bible I see. This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget Him and wander away, kindly He follows wherever I stray. Back to His dear loving arms would I flee when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in His beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me.
And now, here with our message, Oliver B. Green.
Direct us, our Father, as we open Thy Word, as we look into the Word of God, as we study Thy Word. May Thy will be done. May Christians be enlightened and built up in the faith, encouraged in their soul. May unbelievers be made to think and repent and be born again. May Jesus be glorified. He's worthy. In His name, amen. Now, yesterday, or on the last broadcast in the series, I made the statement that I would finish the message on the judgments, and there are five, and I'll just name them in a moment. But my conscience reminded me, of course the Holy Spirit through my conscience reminded me, that a lot of people are in doubt or misunderstanding, or they do not understand what some religions, I want to say this correctly, they are disturbed, I guess is the best word. Some are, and of course some are not, because they are totally blind in the mind by the devil. The god of this age, the devil, hath blinded the minds of believers, but there are of unbelievers, but there are some believers who are disturbed about that term in verse 14. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found in the book of life, written in the book of life, cast into the lake of fire. Now, that word, second death, or two words, second death, that statement is what I'm going to talk about today, because a lot of good people, honest believers, are disturbed about it, and they say that they've been told, and they have books that teach that this means annihilation, that the wicked will be annihilated or destroyed completely, and there's no such thing as an eternal burning hell. Well, now, I said I would name the judgments, and let me do that for you. Number one is the judgment of sin. Jesus did that on Calvary. Number two, the judgment of believers. That will occur immediately after the rapture. Number three, the Jews. That will occur during the tribulation period. Number four, the judgment of the nations. That will occur at the end of the tribulation. And then the great white throne judgment. And that's the judgment that we talked about yesterday. And, of course, on the previous broadcast, at least two or three broadcasts, we talked about the great white throne where the wicked and only the wicked will be judged. Now, this business of the second death is what we're going to talk about today. Now, in the first place, let me point out that Jesus, well, when I say Jesus, I'm speaking of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, God is the author of life. Now, He is the one that gives life to all living. Now, that not only goes for the human race, and I'm talking about human beings, man, and man is the only one that has a spirit that will go to heaven. Now, listen carefully. God gives life to the trees and the grass and animals and the animal kingdom and the birds and the flowers. God is the author of life. You know there are no flowers in hell. You know that. You know there are no bluebirds, red birds, and canaries, and doves, and in hell. You know that. Now, God, and there are no shade trees, no beautiful flowering trees in hell. They were in paradise. God is the author of life. God brought order out of chaos. This earth was covered with water, and it was a total loss. That is, the earth was without form and void. But the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God separated the waters, and God brought about the land, and God brought about life. Now, God is the author of life. In John 1, in 1 John 1, not the gospel, but in 1 John 1 and verse 2, the life was manifested, and we've seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. Now, He is the author of life, but He is more than that. He is the one who purchased eternal life for you and for me and for all. He is life, but He purchased eternal life for you and for me. Now, He is eternal life, but He made possible eternal life for you and for me through His death. You say, preacher, I thought you was going to preach on hell. I'd rather preach on life. Amen. I'd rather preach on life. Now, let me give you a verse of scripture here that I think you ought to see. Now, John the Baptist came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but He was sent to bear witness of that light that was the true light which lighteth every man, not every Christian. But of course, all little babies when they're born are innocent, and if they die at birth or if they die in their innocent years, they go to paradise. And so in the true sense of the word, when a baby is born, it is not a wicked sinner. So we read again. Now listen, He is the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came his own, and so forth. Now, the thing that I want to point out, this is John's Gospel 1:9, John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 9, that was the true light which lighteth every man. So you see, God and light brings life. There is no life without light. And so God puts within the bosom of man light that is life. Now God made Adam out of the dust, and God breathed into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. Now God is the author of life. But men who are alive have an appointment with death, and the only people, the only persons who will not keep that appointment will be born-again believers living when the rapture occurs. They will not keep the appointment. They are appointed, but they'll cheat death by going up to be with Jesus in the rapture, you see. Every man has an appointment with death. Moses did. He didn't keep it because he died, of course. God buried him. I'm talking about Elijah. Elijah went to heaven in a chariot of fire. Enoch had an appointment with death. Every man has an appointment, but he didn't keep it. He went to walk with God, and they just kept on walking, and he went home, you see, with God. But every man, even those who are taken up in the rapture, have an appointment, but they won't keep it. If Jesus tarries, I'll keep my appointment with death, and you will keep your appointment with death. But there will be people living when the rapture occurs who will not die, because Jesus will take them up like he did Elijah and Enoch, and they will not keep the appointment. But that doesn't alter the fact that they have an appointment. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death, the judgment. Every man will be judged. Believers will be judged for their stewardship, and unbelievers will be judged to the extent of their wickedness, and they'll suffer in hell according to the extent of their wickedness. Now that brings up the second death. All men are appointed to die once. It is appointed unto man once. But it is not appointed unto man the second time. He makes that appointment himself. Man makes that appointment. Now God makes the first one, but man makes the second one himself. So the second death is different from the first death. Now, wait a minute, and I'll tell you what I mean. It is appointed a man wants to die physically. All men die physically except those who will go up in the rapture. And, of course, Enoch and Elijah did not die physically. Enoch walked with God, and Elijah went up in a chariot of fire. So man will die physically. Now, when a believer dies physically, his body is just as dead as the body of a sinner. And the believer's body will go back to dust. And when that believer is raised, he'll have a new body. He will not have that old body, but a new body. Oh, he will resemble himself. We'll know as we're known. I believe if you know me down here, my glorified body will be like this body in resemblance. That is, I will resemble what I look like now. And you'll know me when you see me. We'll know Jesus by the prints of the nails in his hand. We'll know him. I've never seen Jesus. You've seen paintings, but that's not Jesus. And I'm not discussing the right or the wrong. I'm just saying that paintings are not true pictures of Jesus, because there are several, of course, many. Some of the modern ones are a disgrace, and I think blasphemy, really. I think some of the modern paintings and some of the modern art of Jesus, I think it's blasphemy. I really do. Now, I say, I've never seen Jesus, but I'll know him. I'll know him by the prints of the nails in his hands. And those scars will be the most beautiful scars you've ever seen. All right. So the first death is physical. But this death here in Revelation 20, this is a different type of death. It is spiritual. Let me read a couple more scriptures. For instance, in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. This is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. You see, I'm alive physically, and I've been alive ever since I was born. I was born, and I began to breathe, and I've been living ever since, and I'll live until I keep that appointment with death. If Jesus tarries, now if the rapture should take place in the next few seconds, I would go to be with Jesus. I would not die. I wouldn't keep the appointment. I would cheat death, and I'd go on. But if Jesus tarries, I'll die physically. But I will not die spiritually. I will not die again. Now, the sinner dies physically. His spirit goes to hell and burns and is in torment. The rich man died, and in hell he opened his eyes, you see. He died, and in hell he opened his eyes. And he was in torment, and he saw Abraham, and he saw Lazarus, and he talked. So his body died, but his spirit lived on in hell. Now, in the end, the rich man will come out of hell to be judged. And he'll be judged at the great white throne. And then he'll be put into the lake of fire, and that is the second death. But now you wait a minute. That's not annihilation. You want proof, don't you? You want proof, all right? I'm looking out the window here. There's only one window in the studio where I am now delivering this message. And I'm looking out the window, and there's a pecan tree out there. And it's alive, very much alive at the time I'm speaking now. I can tell it's alive. But, you know, that tree could die. And it could stand there dead, and it might stand there for a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and gradually it would decay. But when it decayed, it would not be annihilated, it would just take another form. If I should, for instance, if that tree should die, and I should have it cut down and sawed up in wood and burn it in the fireplace, it would cease to be a living tree standing, or a dead tree standing, but it would not cease to be. It would be changed into ashes, and the ashes would go back to dirt, and the dirt would remain. It might wash out in the ocean, and some of it would change to sand, but it would still remain. Listen, brother, listen. You don't need to argue with me about the annihilation of the wicked. The wicked will never be annihilated. They'll never be totally destroyed. 10 billion years from right now, they'll be in torment in the lake of fire. You know, with all of the space program in the last years and the things that are going on right now as I deliver this message in space, we are beginning to learn a little tiny bit about the vastness of God Almighty. Now listen, when you talk about billions of years, that doesn't do a thing to damage belief in God. I know a young man who graduated with honors from a college in science, and his pastor asked him to write a paper on science and Christianity. And I read that paper, and this young man said, "Many people think that scientists disown God. And the more you know about science, the less faith you have in God and the Bible." He said, "On the contrary, the more I learn about science, and the more I learn about physics and space and outer space, the more I know there is a God, and the more faith I have in God." So you see, true science, true physics, or any of the sciences, any of them, if you have an open mind, an open heart, they do not drive you away from God. They bring you nearer to God. So when people talk about the earth being billions of years old, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, when was the beginning? You tell me, brother. Tell me, will you? In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth. Now, you tell me when the beginning was. You prove it to me, will you? You can put all the billions, 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 and some more billions, and then put some more billions and hundreds of billions and billions of billions. Put them in there. That doesn't do a thing to damage Genesis or any other verse in the Word of God. Well, I was supposed to preach on hell and second death, and I preached on everything else today but that. So let me try to give you in these last few moments what I'm talking about. Now, Timothy, Paul writing to Timothy, he said, "She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives." So you see, it's possible to be dead and alive at the same time. You see what I mean? Now, don't doubt the Bible. If you don't understand it, you just forget your you just forget the fact that you can't understand it, and you just remember the Bible is God Almighty's word, and it can't be wrong. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. She lives, she's dead, but she's alive. You see, twofold, physical and spiritual. The believer dies physically once. The unbeliever dies a second time. He dies physically, then he dies eternally, and that's spiritual. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins." Paul writing to the believers in Ephesus, Ephesians 2:1, Paul said, "And you hath he quickened who were dead." You were dead, he made you alive. All right? So you see, there is a twofold manner. That is, physical and spiritual. Every man dies physically, and all who fail to go up in the rapture will die physically, and those who are alive and born again, when the rapture occurs, they will not keep that appointment. All will keep it except those who are taken up in the rapture, but all of the unbelievers who die without Christ will die again, a second death. They'll die physically, and they'll die eternally, spiritually. They'll never be annihilated, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night forever and forever, and that's eternal. Are you born again? If you are, you have nothing to worry about. And if you're not born again, you have nothing to look forward to but heartaches and misery eternally. Father, convict and convince and draw everyone who is not saved. May many believe on Jesus and be born again right now. Save many, our Father. In Jesus' precious name we ask it for his sake. He's worthy. Amen.
Friends, this is David Green once again, and before we close today, I want to let you know that we are now in the second week of our gift offer Z, the last letter of the alphabet, and I want to thank all of you who have already ordered this gift offering. We've already had some responses about how much they are enjoying and learning from listening to and reading the materials in this gift offer. Now, Gift Offer Z contains two books, a CD of music, and five copies of one of our most popular soul-winning booklets. And it's all available to you in return for your donation to the Gospel Hour in the amount of $10 or more. I hope that most of you can add some extra, whether it's $15, $20, $50, or even more. I urge you to add some extra money for God's work and to help keep us on the air. But if you can send a donation of at least $10 and ask for Offer Z, now you must ask for the offer to receive it because so many of our listeners send in donations and do not ask for any literature. So please ask for the offer if you want it. But if you do that, then, and send your donation of at least $10, I'm going to send you first five copies of one of our soul-winning booklets, Millions Missing. Now, this is a wonderful soul-winning booklet, 32 pages long, two colors, very attractive. It will catch the attention of any unsaved person. And then I'm going to give you some information on how you can order in quantities to hand out or mail out, give out in your community to the unsaved. Then we have a very important book by Dr. Green entitled The Mind. Now, the mind is, of course, very important. The devil is always attacking our mind. God helps us keep our mind pure. A great book, 80 pages long. Then we have Rightly Dividing the Word, a 124-page perfect-bound book broken into 8 different studies, such as dispensational truth, the judgments of God, and so on. A great book. You will need to take your time studying this book with your Bible open by your side. Finally, we have an album of music by the Gospel Hour singers and musicians, Under His Wings. 14 great songs in all, such as Moment by Moment, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, Just as I Am, and so on. So to get the books, the soul winning book, and the musical album, just ask for Gift Offer Z and send your gift of at least $10. Here's how to make your donation.
Friends, to order this week's gift offer or to contribute to this ministry, write to us at the Gospel Hour, Post Office Box 2024, that's 2024, Greenville, South Carolina, 29602. Or call us toll-free Monday through Friday between the hours of 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time at 1-800-745-0324. That's 1-800-745-0324. You may use your Visa, Discover, or MasterCard anytime you write or when you call. You can also place your order online 24 hours a day by visiting our website at www.thegospelhour.org. Here also you may order other materials available through this ministry. To receive an audio CD of today's message, be sure to give us today's date and enclose a gift of at least $5 to cover the cost of production and handling.
Friends, this is David Green again. On behalf of myself and the entire Gospel Hour family, I want to thank you for tuning in to the program today. I hope you received a blessing today and will tune in again each and every time you can. And so, until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you in His will.